This is a Space Wizards Tavern production.
Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached HoloNet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on galactic history. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on lesser-known Jedi. You've selected a lecture on Shakti. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Look, Todd, I'm just saying that it's possible that they gave me that grade because of my lifetime achievement in holodramas.
You think that you got an A in History of the Force and Jawas because of your holodrama achievements?
Lifetime achievements.
In holodramas?
Yeah. Okay, I have no idea how I got that A. I'm 90% sure that I didn't even submit the homework, but I definitely remember sending a copy of some of my earlier holodrama works, including Rebel, 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 The Four Rebels of Death, to the Jedi Professor.
I seriously cannot believe that movie title was the best they could come up with. None of this seems strange to you?
I don't care. I'm doing great here.
I haven't seen you use the Force once since the lecture hall last summer.
Well, maybe I just don't want to. They don't seem to much care, do they? I am totally in control, completely at one with the Force and whatever.
Then you're aware of the guy on the ledge who's been staring at you for the last 10 minutes?
What? No. Force. Hey, you! What's your deal?
It's Nanya.
He means none your business, sir.
What? No. No, he doesn't. Todd, that's stupid. What do you mean, Nanya?
None your business?
Ha!
Shut up, Todd. Whatever. Just come over here.
No.
What is this guy's deal? Fine. I'm coming to you. Okay, I'm here. Why are you staring at me?
You're Sunny Ravencourt, the holodrama actor.
Finally! I was wondering if anyone had even seen the outside world. So, what's up? You want a signed copy of Tauntaun Edo or something? Also, cool mask. Is that like a prescription or something?
He's Keldor, sir.
I knew that. What's your name, kid?
People call me Ferris. Nah, I don't need your holo. Why are you still wearing those robes?
These robes? I don't know. They were issued to me. Hey, how come your robes look fancy?
Been here a long time. I know how to get things. Plus, I inherited a bunch of money. You like my robes? Here. You got a new set on order.
Not bad, kid. Todd, you could learn a thing or two from this guy. So what's a kid like you doing here if you're sitting on a bunch of money?
They're going to boot me in a month or so once I turn 18. I don't really want to join the Jedi Corps, so I guess I'll just go explore the galaxy or something.
I think it's actually pronounced Jedi Corps. Well, what classes are you good at? I mean, maybe that'll help you decide.
Classes? Man, I haven't gone to classes in forever. I just changed my grades on my holo tablet. For being the Guardians of the Force, they have shockingly bad security here.
So you just kinda hang out, wearing sweet robes, getting fake grades until you take off in a few months?
You got it.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, see ya, Ferris.
See you around, Ravencourt.
Man, I'm gonna miss that guy already. Why can't you be more like him, Todd?
I'm not so sure he's a good influence on you, sir.
Is that envy that I see on your, gills? Honestly, I don't know what color you're supposed to be there, so this bit isn't really gonna work. The point is, chill out. Ferris seems cool. And speaking of cool, I need to do a lecture to make sure the UFC keeps sending me a paycheck. Which, now I don't have to spend on new robes, thanks to my new friend Ferris. What does it mean to have a successful life? I guess that's kind of like asking what the meaning of life is, but I think it's a little different. For most non-sentient species, it's simply survival and then procreation, but we're a little bit past that. Is it to train the next generation? Is it to advance the knowledge of your species? Is it to make the galaxy a better place? Or, like some cultures believe, is it just to have a good and honorable death? What if I told you that one of the most beloved Jedi of all time couldn't get a single one of those right? But the death part? Well, she took care of that one 5 times. This is the story of Shaak Ti. Shaak Ti was a Togruta from the planet Shili. Like most Jedi, she followed the standard Jedi kidnapping plan as a child. Am I supposed to say that? Look, I think we can all agree that the biggest flaw of the Jedi Order is this insane practice of taking children away from their parents and then training them to be monks who have no attachments, thereby eliminating the desire to ever return to their family, okay? There, I said it. We can all agree that this is just absolutely bonkers, so I guess let's just get over it. Somehow we, as a society, have come to accept this as a reasonable thing, and I just don't know why, but I can't have a big rant about it every single lecture. So we're just gonna move on, but I want you all to know and note for the record that I think that this is nuts. Anyways, she becomes a Jedi in the normal way. Okay, I'm really done now. You know, I guess I could refer to her as Master T, but that sounds a little bit too much like a hollow rock star. So I'm gonna refer to her as Shaak Ti, which, to be fair, pretty much still sounds like a rock star. And frankly, she was. She was at the Battle of Geonosis, which most historians identify as the kickoff to the Clone Wars. A couple dozen Jedi were surrounded in an arena by a zillion Geonosians and Techno-Union battle droids, and nearly fought to the death if it wasn't for a last-minute rescue by the brand new clone army of the Republic. And for her efforts, and surviving, of course, she was promoted to general. And that is what we call a meteoric rise to the top. But I've skipped a few important things in her origin story, so I'm gonna rewind a bit. Early in her Jedi career, she takes on a Padawan, and before you even ask, no, I don't know his name. I'm pretty sure the Padawan was a he, but some things are lost to history, even to the best of us. One of the reasons we don't know his name is because, well, he didn't last very long. He's trained on Shili, the Togruta home planet, and rises to the level of knighthood. Then, on his first mission away from his master, he's murdered. Now, I don't know about you, but you would think that this would be a big deal. Raise up this Padawan to knighthood, let him off the leash, and he eats it on his first mission. Like, what the force, Shaak Ti? Apparently her Jedi abilities to just shrug off attachment are on point because she goes back to the Padawan vending machine and just pulls out another. This one, we actually know her name. Fae Sun, the second apprentice to Shaak Ti, was also trained in the wilds of Shili. Shaak Ti didn't accept any Jedi missions during the training and focused pretty much on survival training over any real life experience. After the Jedi trials, Fae Sun was promoted to knighthood. I'm not sure if you can see where this is heading, but it's not good. Fae Sun gets a mission to head out into the real galaxy and ends up on a planet of anti-Jedi natives. Apparently, Shaak Ti's emphasis on training and not real-world experience wasn't a great fit for this scenario, and, well, you guessed it. Fae Sun is murdered by a local criminal named Leisha. If you're keeping score, that's 0 for 2 in the surviving apprentice category. This one really did shake Shaak. Wow. Let me rephrase that. It bothered her. I imagine having your first two apprentices die immediately after the trials is something that gets chatted about at the water coolers of the local Jedi temples. But, as Jedi do, you gotta drop the attachment and, move on. Now, despite these events, Shaak Ti rose through the ranks of the Jedi pretty quickly and ended up taking our second favorite Green Jedi seat on the council. You got it, Master Yaddle. Apparently, Yaddle decided to just give up her power and throne. I wasn't aware that was something you could do. And now we're back to the Battle of Geonosis, which must have had some impression on Shaak Ti, because she and the clones are tied about as closely as any Jedi was. Not long after the war was in full swing, Shaak Ti took up a position as the Jedi representative on the cloning station on Kamino. I like to think of her as the clone mother. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, this lady is not exactly the poster child for raising successful underlings, but you know, practice makes perfect. And now she's got a few hundred thousand chances, and nobody seems to care when a few of them don't make the cut. And honestly, I don't even want to think about what happens when a clone doesn't make the cut. I assume it kind of just ends in something close to nutrient paste, which is gross. Anyways, the general consensus is that she does a pretty good job in this role. She's patient, compassionate, and seems to have a pretty decent idea of the big picture. She treats the clones as individuals, which is pretty mind-bending if you spend too long thinking about it, which I did one night over a few too many Fallujah Mangeese drinks. Do not recommend. Shaak Ti's role there isn't just a desk job, though, because you can imagine what a target a cloning facility is to the Separatists. It's like the target, outside of maybe Coruscant. So she's constantly involved in defending it. And she's successful. So I guess we have to give her some props for that. Not an easy task, and it involves some leadership. She earned a lot of respect amongst her peers for her role as the clone mother. I'm telling you, clone mother, I'm gonna make that a thing. But now, it is time for one of the weirdest quirks in galactic history. The five deaths of Shaak Ti. Now, most of the time, historians are in basic agreement on stuff. Sometimes it gets a bit quirky with minor disagreements, and on the very rare occasion, it becomes downright nonsense. Did you know that some historians swear that Luke Skywalker was married and had a child? We're gonna go into that more on a later lecture, but like, seriously, how can we have such major disagreements over stuff like this? I mean, we're professionals, right? Well, I mean, I'm not a historian, I'm just a fan of history. And this is definitely in that last category of weirdness. So here we go. How did Shaak Ti meet her demise? Let me count the ways. Death 1. During the Battle of Coruscant, we all know that Chancellor Palpatine was captured by General Grievous and taken aboard the flagship Invisible Hand. Now, we all know that Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi made a daring rescue and piloted the ship down to Coruscant, and General Grievous escaped to be a general pain in the collective butts of the Jedi everywhere for a very long time. However, some historians believe that when the Chancellor was captured, General Grievous also captured Shaak Ti, who was taken prisoner. During the rescue of the Chancellor, Shaak Ti was executed by Grievous after Kenobi and Skywalker boarded the craft, right in front of them, by one of Grievous's stolen lightsabers. Pretty wild. Is it true? I don't know. We're just getting started. Death 2. Somewhat similar to Death 1, Shaak Ti is again on the Invisible Hand. However, this time, she wasn't captured with the Chancellor. This time, she's attempting to rescue the Chancellor. And Grievous doesn't capture her and kill her with a lightsaber in front of Kenobi and Skywalker. Why bother waiting? Grievous just kills her by electrocution as soon as she confronts him. Apparently, she was tired or something from the rescue attempt. Either way, she kicks the bucket at the hands of Grievous on this one too. Death 3. Okay, we are really gonna change things up here. If you believe that Shaak Ti did not die on the Invisible Hand, then one of the theories that you may subscribe to will take you on quite a path. Some historians believe, quite strongly I might add, that Darth Vader took an apprentice shortly after the Empire was formed. His name was Galen Marek, and he went by the code name Starkiller. He was sort of a secret apprentice, because once a Sith takes an apprentice, that's usually the high sign that that Sith is going to challenge his master and then take the throne, following the rule of two. Sometimes they jump the gun a bit, though, and pick up an apprentice before the official challenge takes place. Fun fact, this happened with the very first challenge in the new rule of two system, with Darth Xana and Darth Bane. Xana and Bane both had apprentices already in the wings, just waiting to step onto the stage. Back to Starkiller and Shaak Ti. Vader sends Starkiller out to hunt Jedi, and he finds Shaak Ti on Fallujah. But Shaak Ti hasn't just been hiding out. She's got an apprentice, and she's trained a lot of the locals to fight. She also has developed quite a relationship with the local flora and fauna. In Death 3, Starkiller eventually cuts a path through the locals to get to Shaak Ti, who lures Starkiller towards the ancient abyss, which is inhabited by an enormous Sarlacc. After an epic battle, Starkiller gets the better of her, with a little bit of Force lightning. But Shaak Ti survived long enough to throw herself into the pit, becoming one with the Force, in a massive explosion of blue light. Nice work. Death 4. Sticking with the whole Starkiller thing, Death 4 is a lot like Death 3, except the details are all different. Instead of a Sarlacc pit, Shaak Ti arrived by riding a Rancor. Sweet. Anyways, in Death 4, Starkiller flips the table on the Jedi Master by using the flora of Fallujah against her. Starkiller convinces the carnivorous Fallujian plants to eat Shaak Ti, and well, that's it. I know what you're thinking. Are Fallujian mangies plants carnivorous? And my answer is this. If you drink too many Fallujian mangies liquor cocktails, you will indeed feel as though they have devoured your head. And finally, Death 5. There's always got to be one historical line that most people believe is the truth. This one is the go-to death of Master Shaak Ti. After Chancellor Palpatine institutes Order 66 and anoints Anakin Skywalker Darth Vader, he tells Vader to go to the temple. Vader does so, and at some point in his carnage and youngling murdering spree, he finds Shaak Ti in meditation. I'm going to make a little historical edit here and assume that he finds her before he kills everyone else in the temple, because you would think that that would break a Jedi's meditation session pretty quick. But the way the story goes, Shaak Ti doesn't think anything is wrong when he enters the chamber. Skywalker steps behind her and ignites his still blue lightsaber right through her chest, and that's all she wrote. And so there you have it. Shaak Ti, both a terrible teacher of Jedi and a great teacher of clones. One of the most popular Jedi of all time, but still the subject of 5 different potential deaths. She is truly a paradox. One of my favorites, though, because I like to think that when I die, there will be debate about it for centuries. I imagine that mine also might have to do with Fallujian plants. That last Shaak Ti death, though. Skywalker just saunters in, and she doesn't suspect anything is wrong. Todd, are the Jedi really that bad at security? Ferris is just changing his grades to whatever he wants.
Perhaps the temple is designed for you to get out what you put in.
Perhaps you've been spending too much time in ethics class. Why can't you just change my grades to help me out?
You have no idea.
I'm sorry, what was that? I was just thinking of whether or not I could get my new robes in that color to the left of your gills. Is that fuchsia? I feel like that's fuchsia. What color is fuchsia? Fuchsia. Fuchsia. Now I just like saying it. Fuchsia. Fuchsia.
Never mind, sir.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
This is a Space Wizards Tavern production.